Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. It looks like Bruce, is that you there?
It sure is.
Looks like it's you and I.
All right. Sounds good to me.
I know. Sounds good to me too. There's a gentleman that might be calling in, so we might have some company later on. But let me get rid of the background right quick before we get any further. I'm asking the others where they are, but we're here for this. We're here to get you all excited and talk about what is going on in minds right now. But Bruce, there's a couple of things first wanted to start with. And we have on several occasions, and I know you have an opinion about this issue, but it has gone all over the world now. Now New Zealand is having mosque shootings, but it seems that the killer there had a manifesto, and part of the manifesto, he was quoting our president, President Trump. And my understanding, there is in the United States, a group of people called Trumpets, who also are nationalists. So, How do you read that, Bruce?
Well, things have gotten so diluted and slanted in so many ways. You know, everything under the sun is blamed on the president. I got news for you. One individual in the world isn't that powerful. And the only one that was doesn't live here anymore. He's not in the physical being. So I get a little annoyed, whether it would be any president, not just Trump, but, you know, this pile-on theory is just it's just ridiculous now. All you think about every time something bad happens anywhere in the world or particularly the United States, well, how are they gonna hook this up to the president at the time? And I think smart people decided, you know, this is a joke. I don't mean to say the situation. It's not funny, but you know what I'm saying. So in a way, I feel that we have to get back to some kind of civility where we're talking about real facts, real news, and have honest opinions back and forth. In the recent past, we had that. Yes, we disagreed. We had that. We don't even have that anymore. It's just one-sided. This time it's the left against the right, or the Democrats against Republicans. But I'm sure, remember when Obama was president, it was the other way. So it's just been ramped up like they've got the license to pile on president more than they have any others. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it factual, doesn't make it informative. And I think people are getting so sick and tired, myself included, you probably as well, that we can't get an honest debate of the facts and the information anymore. It's just crazy.
But Bruce, the fact is, So the issue, that's the problem, is we have a man in the White House that seems to be touching the world, not just the nation of the United States, because now the gentleman from Australia, who was not from the United States, had no contact with the United States, is quoting him in his manifesto when he shoots up a mosque in New Zealand. There's something, so the fact that he wrote this and said all this and is saying it's part of the president of the United States, and he's with that thinking, how do you get around the fact that you're saying that it's all facts and things, somebody got to get them right, but the fact is, this man actually wrote that, this man actually killed all these people, and this man is saying that he's part of his Trump message that he got.
Heinous, terrible, ungodly murders. I do not think that most people that commit these acts, the fact that, I committed it because the president of the United States said something. Do you really believe that? I don't. I believe that these people that do these acts have real heinous problems that cause them to do it. Now, if they want to use somebody else, including the president of the United States or anyone else, as an excuse to say, this is why I did it, or the press is going to say, this is why it was done, they're just not thinking about the whole picture and what's going on. I do not like our president fanning the fire, but do I think this was done just because he said something and that person said, I connected it with something the president of the United States said? I doubt it very much.
Don, on the line?
Yes, I am.
So you must be at a bed or something. We hear people in the background. You're a busy
man.
Yeah,
I had some people come in, so I had to move away from them.
Oh, okay. But we were discussing the shootings, and this time it's not even in the United States. It's in New Zealand, far away from us, a country that motto is how safe they are, what a safe place it is. Now they had this mass shooting, but the shooter said in his manifesto that it's, one of the things that he put in there was he related it to the president of the United States. Is that's where all this is, that's where he got a lot of his thoughts from, because, and then, as I was saying earlier, there are a group of people on the West Coast called the Trumpets, and it's moving across the United States, my understanding, when you do the research, that they're the Trumpets, who are also nationalists too, who also say, we agree with Trump, and we should be, the United States is being deluded. But so how do you feel about that? What do you think that is?
I think we're reaping the benefits of the most powerful position in the world. His statements are having repercussions all over the world. I mean, the Muslims have been under attack ever since he's been in office. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I don't have anything against Muslims. And now we got people making manifestos and shooting the churches, and it's ridiculous. And he's denying it. He's denying it and not even owning it. You got to watch what you say.
Because the gentleman wrote it in the big manifesto that they're all talking about, this big book that he wrote about how much he hated everything, he quotes Trump as one of his spiritual leaders.
Exactly. But Trump is denying it. I mean, and the thing is, his surrogates and his talking point people, they're saying it has nothing to do with it. Come on, man. When you're the president of the United States of America, you have to watch what you say and do.
I agree, because you don't hear people quoting presidents of other countries. I mean, who knows what they say? Obviously, the president of the United States the president of Russia, those people are people that have to really watch what they say because people follow what they do. How do you feel about this? O'Rourke, the guy who's running for president of the United States, suggested in one of his speeches that when he becomes president, he wants to ban AR-15s. So Fox News, one of their spokespersons told viewers, one of their hosts told the viewers, they should start stockpiling up on AR-15s because if O'Rourke gets elected president, he's going to ban them, and everybody should start, all of the audience there should start stockpiling them to make sure that they have them. What do you think about that there, Bruce? I mean, what do you think, Bruce? How do you frame that?
Well, I frame it this way. There should be responsible and probably more checking up and whatever needs to be done on gun control. But ownership, responsible ownership of guns is always going to be here. Whether you eliminate a particular type of weapon, which I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. For me, I have no desire to own something like that. That's just me. Is not going to solve the problem. If someone doesn't have a particular rifle or a particular pistol, do you think for a minute that's going to stop the problem? It's not. They'll find the ones that want to do these heinous things will find another way to do it and use another weapon to make it happen. So this impression, this feeling that, well, we get rid of this and our problem solved, we can wring our hands and go back to work, is crazy. That's not gonna solve the problem. We need to go back and find out what we can do to not only properly and maybe more completely control weapons as far as screening and so forth. I don't disagree with that at all. And find out why people are doing what they're doing. That's a lot more work. And we always want a quick fix. And we think, oh, we'll just get rid of this type of gun. Voila, we're done.
Do you think the TV announcer who the host on Fox News should be fired for telling people to go stockpile AR-15s?
I didn't hear it. I don't know the details, but if that was something that was said, that person shouldn't be in a position. There again, the thing you've heard me object to, of giving a personal opinion of what they should do, because Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, and MSNBC, all of those have a power position, and they have to respect and be careful of what and how they say. All of them do, left, right, and in between. And so I'd have to know all the details. It surely doesn't sound like something Don or you or I would say, but we're not in that power position. They are. Power of influence. And we need to get back to using that power respectfully so people understand what's really going on. And I guess that's how I'd end. I would say, yes, he should be fired, or no, he shouldn't. I'd need to know more about it before I even make that kind of a drastic decision.
Well, actually, it was a female host.
Okay.
One of the new
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
female, male, black, white,
true.
Red, green, purple, doesn't matter.
That's true. I guess the reason I said it was a female host was because I would not think. You know, somehow that just doesn't make sense to me why you would even say that. But obviously, you know, what do you think, Don? What do you think about the host? You're in that.
You know how I feel about guns. You know how I feel about guns. I'm like Bruce. I wouldn't never own one. And there needs to be some regulation on guns. Needs to be background checks. We've made guns a big issue. I mean, it's dominated my livelihood and my topic of discussion over the past 5 years like never before, when it didn't used to be like this. What happened?
Don,
you go ahead.
Yeah, you've opened up the proverbial Pandora's box. Exactly right. What happened? And we, as a country, need to get smarter or more diligent or get off our hind ends and find out why and what and how. We just talk about it. We don't see any sense of it's being taken care of or even trying to struggle with that kind of problem. Don't you think?
You're absolutely right. I'm still wondering, what happened? I mean, you know, what happened? We can't talk about it. We know that guns are really causing a problem with the human race. What happened?
Okay,
right.
here's a scenario.
If we find, I'll add one more thing and shut up. If we get anywhere close to finding out truly, as Don said, what happened or what's going on or what are the causes, we're going to get that much closer to getting this under control. It's not that simple. It's that hard. It's not simple.
Here's a scenario I want you to give me your opinion on. A father who is paraplegic was at home in his wheelchair, and he gets a call. His son is in junior high school. The son is crying and tells the father that he just got slammed by one of the teachers. The father is furious, so he goes up to the school in his wheelchair, but the one thing that he has on him is a gun. But he says he carries the gun everywhere he goes because he's in a wheelchair and he needs to have it for defense in case he ever needs it. And he forgot that he had the gun when he went to the school, so they took him and put him in jail and everything because he had a gun on school property. Now, the boy is crying on the phone to his dad saying, you know, Dad, this teacher just slammed me on the floor or on the wall and hurt me. And the father is up to defend his son. The problem is the gun. I can understand the father going up to the school to see what's going on. The problem in this whole scenario is he had a gun on him. He's mad. He could have used it, but that wasn't what was happening. They just put it on him when they searched him, and he said he always has that gun. So guns are an issue, all kinds of ways. The father can't even protect his son in a hurry because he has a gun. I don't know where I'm going with this, because what I'm thinking is this is an issue no matter what, all kinds of things. Even as an innocent thing, gun is a issue in the United States. Bruce, tell me about that scenario.
David, from your recollection there and what you just laid out, how far did that father get into the school? To the front office? To the front door? To the classroom? Where did he end up?
He got into the school looking for where his son was. It was like lunchtime or something, and kids were all over the place. He's in trying to find his son.
Well, you know who is equally to blame then? Is the way schools are now, and my own included, which is in a pretty stable neighborhood. You either have to ring into a school, be buzzed in, or there's a layer that once you come in, you have to basically go to the front office. Where was the control there where they said, if they feel they need to check the person out, he says he forgot he had it. Well, if people don't believe that, then there should be some line of defense where they should have discovered that in the front office, and he never got into where the kids are. That's part of their responsibility. Never used to be, but it sure is now. When we get buzzed into the grade school, they look at you and kind of look you over and so forth. I'm not offended by that. I don't like it, but that's the way of the world now. We have to be vigilant. Where were they? Why weren't they vigilant before he got in where the kids were?
Well, you know, a man come in a wheelchair, everybody knows in the wheelchair, so he knows he stood out. And,
yeah.
You know, so him getting into the school, you're right. That's mind-boggling to me that he was able to get through and go all over the place and nobody questioned him until, you know, until somebody did question him. And then they called, well, actually they called police to question him.
And I would venture to say, not knowing, but I would venture to say, if he's truly one that feels he needs to carry that around and he has the proper identification and licensing to do that, and he says, God, I don't remember having it, they could have easily found it. He would have been visible, would have been on his side, or it would have been in the pockets of that wheelchair, and it would have taken him how many seconds to check that? Not much.
And Bruce, you just hit the nail on the head. What type of mindset would say, okay, I carry my gun wherever I go, but boom, there's a check. There's a check in my spirit right now. I don't walk into a school with a gun. What
right.
happened to that check in his
right.
in his psyche?
Right. That's right.
What happened to that check? I mean,
yeah,
that check used to be prevalent 10 years ago.
Yeah, you think he that's exactly right. But one more play on that chess game. Maybe he feels, and you and I don't have that feeling, but he might feel, yeah, I would have never thought of keeping it with me at all times, but I'm fearful now, the way the world is now, so I'm carrying it. Well, then, so, I mean, that's one more, you know, back and forth, but still, you're right. Someone somewhere should have said, you can't bring that in the school, period. Now, you either turn around and go back out and come back without it, or it stays here and we're going to lock it up or something. I don't know, but it does not go in where the kids are.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
That's all right. I mean, that any state school district has the no gun on school property. Everybody knows that. But he was mad, you know, his son. But your son is calling, crying all over the phone, and this man is just slammy. So I can imagine how he was feeling. He needed to get to his son.
Well, and part of that, David, might have been, we don't know the makeup of people these days. Might have been a person that was very upset by that and not thinking as clear as he normally does. That could do one or two things. It could cloud his thinking about, oh, crap, I don't remember I had my gun with me like I normally do, or I didn't think to leave it at home, or other intentions. But again, the people that guard the children and the school and make it a safe place to be, the way it has to be safe these days, is their responsibility, isn't it, also?
Usually all these schools now, when you walk through the door, there's somebody there to talk to you, the way things have been going in schools. I would take my child out of that school immediately.
Yeah. You're right. You don't get the luxury of walking around the hallways anymore looking for anybody unless they give you permission to do that, period.
Right. That school is not safe. And if I was the PTA, whatever it was, that would be a big issue for me. Because it's all news, and it's in the newspaper, it's all over. So that school right now has a black mark against it, and all the kids in that school are not safe. And you know, if you're taxpayers and you pay school taxes, you should be at the school meetings trying to figure out how he got there and why, who's the administrator, who's the superintendent, how did this happen, why did it happen, and it better not happen again.
And the answer, and then I want to hear what Don wants to add to it. And the answer isn't to say, okay, we're going to fire all the people in the front office and we're going to send him to jail and boy, we got that solved. That doesn't solve anything, really. I mean, it doesn't solve the problem. It solves the situation. As Don said earlier, why did you feel, and Mr. and Mrs. Administration or whoever they are, you didn't need to check, especially the way things are now? And sir, why did you think it would be okay to bring your gun to school? And his answer was, well, I forgot. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't make it a good answer. There has to be checks and balances to make sure that gun doesn't get in where the kids are.
You know, we just went through a situation here in Parkland, and they had Rumsey, the superintendent of schools, on the hot seat, and they were trying to get rid of him when he really wasn't the problem, and he was able to get past all of the blame being thrown at him, and the school superintendent's supervisors or commission school commissioners voted to keep him in office a score of 6-3. And one of the things he did was immediately hire a director of security for schools in Broward County. Now there's a person over security. His job is to think about nothing but security for every school in Broward County.
And Don, what message do you feel that sends? Is that plus or minus, is good or bad? I have my opinion, but I want to hear yours first.
I think in light of what's happened there and what's happening in the world today, we need a person that focuses on nothing but security in schools. Isn't that something?
And I would add to that.
When my kids were in school, there was a guy in a police car that drove around school to school. I always thought there was one or
two.
But
David, they were rent-a-cops.
They weren't full time.
And they weren't paid hundreds of thousands of dollars being responsible for that measure.
Right.
They were an important visual, but they weren't trained like a regular police officer would think. Full-time police officer and what I would add to what you said, Don, is it sounds refreshing and honest that they felt like this guy, we needed to check the situation out. We did. We feel more of us than less of us that he was okay. And he learned by it and he told us what he was going to do and he did it. That's what should happen. Firing this guy because he did that. What if you get someone else hired that's worse than he was? I mean, you got to give someone, if you honestly feel he's right, you got to give him a chance to rectify the situation. It sounds like they did that.
Exactly. And the thing is, you got to think that he was terrified to see that happened. And you learn from mistakes. You don't get rid of a guy, and he had nothing to do with it. I mean, you see what is to be learned from this situation. What can we do to make sure that this does not happen or has a slim chance of happening again? And those are the measures you take.
And if this is a guy or a gal, in this case a gentleman, of substance and real quality, he went through that. He is never going to let that happen again because he knows what could have happened, and it scared him to death. Rightly so.
Yes. Yes, it did. It really did. I mean, I saw it. You're right, Bruce.
All right. Let's move on. We're expecting a call soon. I'm hoping that the call comes through, but I'm expecting a call from a prison in Texas, and we're getting a lot of privilege speaking to one of the prisoners in the prison who is in there for crime, and he's going to talk. The goal is to talk about how he got there, why wouldn't our listeners or young men want to go there and follow his path. So I'm waiting for a call to come in from there. I'm hoping that it gets through, but it depends on the prison and how all that works out. But we've gotten permission to do it, but now I'm just waiting. So I told him to call at 6, but he was saying, but I know that in Texas, there's a time difference of an hour. So I'm hoping that he gets in. But anyway, until that happens, I want to keep going. But I want to talk about things. You know, there are a lot of things that happened to men last week that I wanted to talk about so that it doesn't happen again. And this was in Pennsylvania. They arrested a man and put him in jail because he fell asleep on the sofa with his baby boy. He was 26 years old. The baby was 1 month old. He fell asleep holding the baby on his chest. The baby was asleep. And so the baby was asleep. He fell asleep. And then the baby got smothered because his face was on the man's chest. So he's being booked and held and being charged with manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. And the reason is that he had fallen asleep a couple of other times, and the wife had warned him that you cannot fall asleep when you're holding the baby. And she says that he did it a couple of times before. She warned him not to do that. So the district attorneys are saying, well, he's just reckless. So they're charging him with involuntary manslaughter and putting him in jail because they said with those warnings from his wife, he was being reckless. And this is a 26-year-old man not trying or anything at debate. It's not an accident, they claim. So what do you think about that there, Don?
David, that is an unfortunate situation. I don't think any amount of jail or prison time can have such a strong effect as having to live with knowing that you killed your son or daughter because they fell asleep on your chest and it was the direct result of your inability to take care of them. That's going to have a profound lifelong sentence.
Do you think the father should be charged and put in jail for involuntary manslaughter?
Nope.
What about you, Bruce?
Mr. Donald, my brother, is exactly right. Are we crazy?
Ooh.
He was warned, but then we better start looking at charging all parents, good and bad, that let their kids sleep with them in bed, that sleep up against a dog, a pet, a family pet that might roll over on them, and several things else. This is kind of the craziness without thought that seems to be going on. The answer is put them in jail, lock them up, hang them from the highest scaffold. I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy. So how many parents out there at some point in their life slept with their kids in bed with them? I think there's more than you could ever count. So they're all potential murderers if that terrible thing happens, and it does happen. Come on.
What about Jeremiah was there, and then he left. Spencer was there. What do you think, Spencer?
I agree. It's unfortunate that it happened, but...
And let me just tell everybody, Spencer is at that age. He's about the same, you know, he's in the age that this man who just got put in jail, about that same age. So if you have a child, one of the things we're doing with this is waking up all the young men out there who like to do this. Don't fall asleep with your kids. So we're kind of waking you up at the same time as we tell you the story. But, well, Spencer, what do you think about this story? And do you think the man should be in jail for involuntary manslaughter?
Well, right now, I think he should be in jail. Now, as far as his sentence, I believe since it was an accident, a true accident, even despite the warnings, maybe some probation time, but I do believe he should be in jail because of the warnings, constant warnings. And even as a father, I know it's hard. I can't say I know because I'm not a father, but I can only imagine a newborn, how hard it is. And I don't know what his job status is like, but that's tough. But I do believe as of right now, he should be in jail.
The wife. The wife saying you shouldn't fall asleep with the baby. Make sure you don't fall asleep with the baby. It's not like it's just husband and wife kind of thing. And sometimes husbands hear their wife and don't. I mean, they're in the background, but you have your son and that's your child and you're in love with him, so you have him. You fall asleep again. So you're saying that the fact that the wife gave the gentleman a warning is illegal, that's considered a real warning? and the fact that he was reckless because of that, he should be in jail. So you're saying he really should be in jail. That's your point of view.
Yes. It's just the recklessness. It's like I said, I know it's hard, but I mean, oh man. I mean, the woman wouldn't know best in this situation. I don't know how many times it happened, but if it was multiple times, she might have seen something before. To that's why she was giving him these warnings, and you know, I don't know. It's very hard, but like I said, I don't think the eventual sentence should be prison time. You know, I don't think the eventual sentence. But I mean, I honestly believe he should get bail. You know, I think he should get a bond. You know, but yeah, he should have been locked up. That's what I'm saying.
You don't think that for the rest of this man's life he's going to have this thing in his mind where he, you know, it's depressing that I killed my only 1-month-old son.
And oh, that's why I don't think he's going to get. That's why I think he deserves something like probation instead of prison time.
Okay, if you're going to give a man probation, why are you arresting him and putting him in jail for involuntary manslaughter to give him a record? I don't understand your thinking on let's ruin his life because he did this on top of the fact that he's going to be thinking about this the rest of his life. Why do you think, I mean, I guess, so tell me why you're thinking that way.
Oh, it's because it's the law. You know, it's the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to get bail. So, you know, you're all going to, you know, it's just their duty, you know, just simply to lock a man up for involuntary manslaughter. You know, the prosecutor is trying to make a case saying that, you know, he did have warning, which he did. But I just think, you know, it's just the law and it's just the natural order of things that I think he would get locked up. You know, eventually, hopefully he would get bond and be able to bond himself out. But I just think it's a natural order of things for him that he will get locked up. You know, we're going to take you.
Well, you know, I think I want to dig deeper into this because you're in that age under us, the other gentleman that I'm speaking to, and you're saying it's the order of things, how things should go. So if somebody, an accident hurts somebody, they should be punished and go to jail. That's not the way it was, I think, when I was that age coming up. It was an accident. You tried the best to take care of them and explain that. But now you're saying that it seems like there's a shift. What you're saying is that's the way things are. That's the way he needs to go to jail, which is different thinking for me. What do you think, Don?
I think that I think we shouldn't waste the taxpayers' money on trying to prosecute a person like that. As the moral and morality and guilt is enough punishment for him. Can you imagine a guy being arrested in a jail cell and then put out in population and they say, Don, why are you here? Well, I fell asleep with my 1-year-old on my chest and it died. And so they locked me up. I mean, that's got to be the most asinine statement I ever heard.
And
it would be the laughing joke of the entire penal system. It would be a joke.
And Don, where does it end? Do we make the wife culpable in this thing as well? Because she warned them, and she said he did it more than once, and she was responsible because she allowed the situation to possibly occur again. That's just as crazy. But, I mean, is
and
that where we go?
She's the judge, jury, and the prosecutor.
She should be locked up, too?
And she's the reason why they're putting him away, because she told them that she had told him that that was the day for him to follow through with the baby. They're using her as the whole reason to put him in jail. But that's the point I'm making is, though, when I grew up, when people had accidents like this, it was all, everybody came together. We didn't say that's the way things are. He should go to jail. We said, wow, that's sad. We need to go over and support the family. Now it seems that the young guys are so used to the law getting in, making things. You know, it's all about the law. And you know, as much as I hate these judge shows, because I think they've shown that the law, the legal system, is just actors on the bench performing. I just think times have changed, and because I don't think either one of us, Don or myself, would have said we should put this man in jail, because that's the way of things. That wasn't the way of things before. There's been a shift. That's what I'm trying to pick up. There's been a shift in the way people think these days, I think. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, and there has been, and it's not been a shift in the right direction. And in some ways, it's saying I'm not capable of making the right decision for my family, so let's have the law do it. And we seem to be moving in the direction too many times, not always, but too many times, where we can't as a family unit, we can't make our own decisions anymore. If you can't, then why do you have children?
Right.
Don't have them. If you decide to, then you are the keeper of that family, the two of you, whether it whatever that combination is, or you know what I mean. So to have the court say, well, okay, we can't make a decision about why the child was on his desk and accidentally died, so let's put him in jail. Don was right. It's crazy.
You know, but there was a time when, I think when we grew up, at least where I grew up, you didn't want the police to come. You didn't call the police about everything. You handled it. Your dad handled it. Your mom handled it. You know, if there was a problem, you went to handle it. Now, it seems every time there's an issue, it's call the police, which only puts people in jail. The words call the police means somebody's going to go to jail, someone's going to have to pay money. But it seems to be the way of things now. You have to have the law to make the decisions. And then
when you ask them to get involved, they're getting beat up as far as, you know, the police do this wrong and police do that wrong. And then don't call them. If you don't think they're going to be a part of a positive solution, don't call them. Figure it out yourself.
That's right. All right, I want to change this a little bit. I'm waiting for a call, but I guess I might not get it. I might have to move it to next week. But still, I want to talk about the college admissions scam, where rich people were paying people to get their kids in school. And now it's a big scam. Wasn't that the way it always was? Is that why schools got new buildings? Is that why a lot of schools got $1 million to help get their kids in school? Why is it a scam all of a sudden? Who got in school that was not rich, and now rich folks are mad about it? What happened? This college admission scam is crazy to me, because it has always been that way. That's nothing new. Most schools, including the best of schools, have kids who are in school because their daddy or mama gave the school a whole bunch of money. Don't you think so, Bruce?
Well, you said the people are upset, don't they? Not the rich people are upset. It's the people that are trying to get in the good old-fashioned hard way of getting good grades, studying their heinies off, and getting in the way we perceive it should be. Has there always been, like they said, a back door, a side door, and a front door? Probably. Will there always be? Probably. It doesn't mean when we get something as blatant as this in today's mirror image society that we don't just forget about it. Where people are upset that, look, you know, they even interviewed one of the daughters of one of the two ladies that said, oh, I just want to be here for the parties. That's about going to school.
What? Right.
Yeah, almighty. Are you kidding me? And then there's someone that would really like to make something out of their life and get into that school, and indirectly they're denied because that space is filled by someone else that doesn't even want to be there except to go to parties. That is wrong. That is just wrong.
Yeah, but that's been one of the matters in the upper class for a long time. The kids, they think the kids go to school and all they're doing is partying. I mean, there have been jokes about that forever. But anyway, Don, what are your thoughts on
I agree with Bruce. I mean, it's been happening a long time. But what happened is, you know, money has overridden the principles of studying hard, working hard, having a desire to go to a higher standard of learning. Money has overridden that, you know, and it's ridiculous, you know. I knew when I was growing up that if I studied real well, passed my tests, kept my nose clean, I had a possibility of getting into a major college or major school. Now, if my parents are rich, they can buy my way in. I mean, that doesn't even sound right anymore, David. It doesn't sound right anymore.
And,
you know,
yeah. And what intelligent young person that wants to make something of themselves wouldn't look at their parents and say, "What are you doing? You think I'm that dumb? I can't do this."
Yeah.
That's the way you'd feel, right, Don? That's the way I'd feel.
Yeah. You got to buy my way in. You know,
yeah.
look at our president.
Me?
Yeah. Look at our president. He went to Wharton School, and he told him, "Yeah, my daddy bought me in. Connections got me in, but don't share my grades. Don't share my grades."
Because they were terrible. But wait a minute. This has been going on. I went to Grambling, which was a football industry. They put out football players, and that was their thing. And so the guys in the classroom, we knew that no matter, they didn't have to ace the test because they were going to get passed anyway. And there was a special room in the cafeteria them for meals because that's where all the steaks and stuff were going when we had spaghetti because they were. So what's the difference? Money to get you through in, or the fact that you have a talent that the school needs to put their monikers on to make them look better? I mean, this has been going on for a long time. So that if they're going to get on the people from a college admissions, and we've recently had scams, people worrying about the athletes being paid for going to school. So it's nothing new. I don't understand why it's such a big deal right now.
At least on the sports side, I would say this. The athletes do get paid to go to a certain college, but I would say the athlete is a true athlete, meaning he's actually that good. The college is paying them to go to their school. You know, it's not that they can't get in with their talent and all or something like that. Now, with this, her name is Laura Loughlin. Her daughter, or I think it was one of the other ladies' daughter, they had
Felicity.
Her down as a scholarship for, like, let's say, water polo. So she'll get in on a water polo scholarship knowing that she doesn't play water polo, she doesn't intend to play water polo, and she comes on a sports scholarship and goes over to do something else when that sports scholarship could have actually went to somebody who deserved it. Now, I know that's one of the things the prosecutor was really upset about, and a lot of the people was upset about how they could have actually got into the school at this particular time, but it was taken away because somebody else was paid to say that they're going to use this scholarship to go to school for this particular reason, and they didn't go for that particular reason. It was just for them a way to go around the whole academic route to get into the college. And that same girl that I want to say was Don was talking about was at the time that her mother was getting indicted or arrested, she was actually on the yacht with the I'm not going to say the president of the school, but one of the directors on his yacht. of USC at that particular time. So it's so she was going to school, but she still, like she said, wanted to party. She's on a yacht, you know, and it's just all that. But I think one of the main things was the scholarships, how they were getting into school, as far as taking away scholarships from other players that actually needed it and deserved it.
Well, you know, my opinion on this whole thing about sports is they let all these people in these schools because they are good at sports, and they give them great scholarships and give them 4 years, and they go out and make big money. And the person that is sitting there with 4.0 from elementary through college is struggling to pay their bills and things, but they're smarter and getting things done. I am against sports scholarships at all anyway, unless there's an equal amount of academic scholarships. If the college is not showing an equal amount, 50-50 academic sports, then I am kind of against it. I think we have neglected our most intellectual, our most brilliant students, our most bright kids, and favored the athlete who throws a ball. I think that's wrong. What do you think, Don?
I think you nailed it, David. You nailed it head on. You know, more accent is being put on athletic and music ability than academic knowledge. And it's wrong. It's wrong. I mean, and that's we're reaping the benefits of it right now in society.
You know, when I went to Grambling, the only person who made more than the president of the university was the coach, Eddie Robinson. And the only person that had their own budget that did not even use the school budget was the athletic division, because they had their own budget, and all the money that went from TV and all that went to the athletic department. And the school was suffering, but the athletic department was wealthy. To me, and all the brainiacs, people who were actually doing well, doing 4.0 and stuff, were struggling and had no money. You know, they couldn't pay for them to get through school. That was a travesty. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, we all know, even the medium and smaller schools, that many times the athletic departments are a magnet and a cash cow to keep a university alive. I won't call it alive and well, because that's not true, but alive. And in this country, we constantly have, like the situation you just explained, where they have their own budgets and you know, people bow before them and that. Sports is important, but it shouldn't take more importance than getting a solid education and being as smart as you can be if you're going to go to college. That's what it's ultimately supposed to be for, to make you, prepare you to be the best human being, the best adult you can be, mentally and in most cases sometimes physically. And we seem to be losing that position in the world, even though we have a lot of foreign students that come here. And I don't think it's a good move. I don't think it's a good move at all. And it scares me as far as the quality of students that we're producing. I think students, I found in mentoring, students want to be pushed, but we have to push them. They'll respond if we push them, but if we decide not to push them, they're not going to say, oh, push me, make me work harder. Come on. It's up to us as faculty, as alumni, as to demand that they do that. We were demanded of that. I think a lot of the youth that have real substance and fiber want to be pushed, want to excel, but we have to help them do that. That's our...
That's right. So, Spencer, give us your thoughts on what we're talking about.
Well, in some schools, the athletic department drives it. In other schools, that doesn't do so well athletic, the education drives it. For instance, you know, you got your Ivy League schools. you got your medicine schools, that the education level, it was kind of balanced. Let's say Florida, for example, they have one of the greatest medical schools in the country, but they also got a great athletic team. I mean, a great athletic department. So it's equal. I guess what I'm trying to say, it depends on, I'm not saying that the school has lost what's the word I'm trying to use, as far as to, you know, they're forgetting about education and everything. I think they're pushing education, but I think a lot of the money is still coming from the athletic department, so they need that revenue. But they also, you know, are pushing the agenda of the education agenda. And it also goes with the alumni too. A lot of the alumni have a lot of say so in the school, and they can also make it so that, you know, the agenda is either focused on education or focused on athletic. And I think that plays a big part in it too. And I guess it depends on what the kid is actually going to school for. Are they actually going to school for education? Are they just going to get, are they going there for sports so they could make it into the big league? So they're not really focused on the education level, even though you got to have a certain grade point average, but you know, you can have someone do your work in school.
All right. So we got about 3 minutes left on the show, but, since our sports guru is here, I want you to delve into what do you think about Duke being selected as the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, I think they deserve it. They have the best player in college. And I haven't only watched him play a couple of times, but even the highlights, what I've seen, he's a freak of nature, and I think they deserve it. They play some tough teams, some tough matchups, and to come back, they was down in the game, to come back to win, I think, over Florida State. Florida State has a great team also. I think they deserve it. They're the best team, and I think they're going to win it all because they have the best player in college, or one of the two top five players in college.
What about you, Bruce? You think that Duke is number one in the NCAA?
No. Who do you think? They are beatable. They just got beat a little while ago, and they didn't look that great. Duke is always a powerhouse. I agree with Spencer on that. But they don't impress me this year as being, you know, the number one seed. I think they should be up there at the top, but no, I don't.
Who do you think should be?
Well, you know where I'm going to go.
Yeah, go there. Let's go there.
I'm going to go to the Big Ten. They've been doing pretty good, even though my team got whooped again today. They have some tenacity there too. And to me, too much emphasis gets placed on one individual versus how about the team that works the best as a team, almost has no superstars at all. I'll take that team over a team with one superstar any day of the week.
Okay, Don, where are you on this?
Well, you know, I'm like Bruce. I'm a Michigander, and
yeah.
I love Michigan. I love Michigan State, and I love the Wolverines too. But I think it's too early. Spencer, you nailed it. Duke is a powerhouse, and you called him a freak of nature. I'm waiting to see him play. I heard a lot of things about him. I haven't never seen this freak of nature play. I see him mess up some tennis shoes, though.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left, and I wanted to tell everyone, happy St. Patrick's Day. If you're not wearing green, paint yourself. That's the old school way. I know kids don't do that anymore. It's probably because you can get in a lot of trouble with somebody today. But want to say happy St. Patrick's Day for those drinking green beer, and in New York, the Green River. I can't believe they actually turned the river green. But we want you to come next week to join us here at The Man's Voice. I'm going to see about this prison and get that. I'm going to make that work next week for sure. get the guy to call in, because the guy, what we want to talk about, how he got there and all that men need to know about prison, what it is actually from somebody on the inside. But you guys have a great week, and I want to thank Spencer, Bruce, and Don for being here with me. You guys have a great week.
Thank you,
guys.
Thanks,
have a great week,
Spencer.
All right. You have a great
Bye.
Week, too.
Bye-bye. All
right.
Maybe we'll see you sometime.